Boys and girls, we're going to be thinking today about the rich fool. And we're going to see a picture here. And I wonder, boys and girls, in the next picture, has this ever been you? Maybe in school, the teacher is talking and your mind is somewhere else. I think of one man, he told me he was in school, and every time he heard a tractor go up and down the road, his mind immediately was there following the tractor. Maybe your mind's in football. Maybe your mind's in your toys or things you love to do. And maybe you're like that in school. I wonder if you ever like that, boys and girls, in church when I'm talking. Would you admit to that? When I'm talking, your mind's somewhere else? Well, if you admit to that, I will not be too disappointed, because that happened to Jesus as well. Jesus was talking to people about the importance of standing up for God, even when it was difficult to be firm and to stand for God. And while he was talking, there was a man whose mind was totally else, somewhere else. He says to Jesus, in the middle of him talking about standing for God, he says, "Teacher, tell my brother to share his inheritance with me." Some land or property had been left. His brother had got it, and he thought he should have a share. There's nothing new in that. And indeed, he's busy thinking about that. This so filled his mind, he wasn't hearing what Jesus was saying. And that can happen to us as well. Our minds can be so filled with the things in this world, things we want to do, that we aren't hearing the most important message of all about being right with God. Maybe, boys and girls, mummy or daddy talk to you and they tell you to do something and you're watching the TV. You're totally zoomed into the TV and you just don't hear at all. It's not you're being disobedient. It's not that you're deliberately ignoring. You're just so caught up with a TV program or maybe a game and you just don't hear them. That's what happens to us. We get so caught up with the things in this world that we're involved in, we don't hear or listen to God when he's speaking to us. Jesus warns here about coveting, which is about loving the things of this world and wanting more and more of the pleasures we can get in this world. And Jesus tells this story to this man and to us to help us from being distracted from that which is most important. And it's the story of the rich fool. The first thing we see in this story is the blessing that he received. This man was blessed by God. He was already a very rich man at the beginning of the story. And every good gift had been given to him from heaven above, from God. And yet in the story, there's not one hint of him being thankful to God for all the gifts that God had given to him. And his blessings continued. While he was rich man, he then had a bumper harvest. He had so many crops, so much was brought in, he couldn't store them in his barns. This rich man was becoming richer. And again, there's not a hint of him thanking God for all the blessings that God gave to him. And I wonder, boys and girls and mums and dads and the rest of us, are we thankful to God for all the blessings that he gives to us? The blessings of lovely warm homes. It's lovely. Maybe a night like last night, you're snug in bed and you hear the wind howling outside. What a blessing to thank God for. The blessing of our clothes, lovely warm clothes. The blessing of families that support us and care for us. The blessings of friends who look out for us. The blessings, yes, of our schools. And boys and girls, schools have changed so much since I went to school. I tell you, schools are much more interesting than when I went to school. In my parents' era, it was different again. You have so much to be thankful for. What about your toys, your books? There's so much to thank. Do you thank God for these things? Boys and girls, when you go to bed at night, why don't you just think at least of one thing every night to thank God for? There's so many things to thank God for. The man in this story had so much, and he never thanked God once. The blessing received. Then the second thing we see in this story is the plans that he made. So the crops were so big, he had nowhere to put them. And so, it seems wise, he decided to build bigger barns so that all the grain could be put into these bigger barns. But he made a number of mistakes here, boys and girls. The first mistake he made here was he thought all the crops were for his own good. That's what his first mistake was. He thought that he could decide what to do with all these wonderful blessings that God had given him. God didn't come into the picture again. The things he received, he thought, I can just decide myself how to use them. I will just use them for my own benefit. He didn't think of giving anything to the poor, of helping others in need. No. He didn't think of giving anything for God's work. He just kept it for himself. That was the first mistake. The second mistake he made was he thought it was okay to live for pleasure. He said, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Let's just have a good time. Let's live for that. Let's have loads of fun, loads of happiness. Let's just live for that. And again, God was not in the picture. The Bible teaches us that we're not to live for pleasure first. The Bible teaches us we're to live for God's glory and honor. Now, I can tell you, boys and girls, you live for God's glory and honor, you will have more joy than you can ever imagine in knowing God and serving God and the blessing he brings into your life. But this man, he just lived for happiness, for pleasures, the pleasures of this world. And then the third mistake he made was he thought he had plenty of time to live. He said, you have ample goods laid up for many years. So he made these plans, I've loads and loads of time, and there's loads of years. This all what I have will provide for me. I can have this joy, this merriment, this partying for loads and loads of years. And that wasn't going to last, though. There's a number of verses in the Bible we'll put on the screen here from James chapter 4. And this is what he says. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And so those verses, boys and girls, remind us, we cannot be sure about tomorrow. You'll be planning to go to school tomorrow, boys and girls. You can't be sure you'll be there. Mums and dads will be planning to work tomorrow. You can't sure be there. None of us can be sure what's going to happen. This whole COVID-19, one of the things I think it's really has helped us is to understand that we can't definitely plan for the future. Yes, we can make plans, but the plans we make, we're never sure if they're going to be carried out. And that is the way we should live all the time. James says, say, God willing, we will do this, we will do that. That our futures are in God's hands, and we have to trust in God. But this man, the mistake he's in, he thought he had loads of years, he could do what he pleased, and God wasn't in the picture. James is saying, remember, life is fragile. Life is like a vapor here for a moment, and then it disappears. And your life can disappear at any time. So, in the minor things of life, we can't be certain about the future. And the big things we can't be certain, we have to trust in God and say, God willing, I will do this, I will do that. So, we've seen the blessing received, we see the plans he made, and thirdly, then, we see the judgment announced in verses 20 and 21. The rich man's plans suddenly come to nothing. But God said to him, you see this verse, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, where will they be? God, boys and girls, can decide at any time to take our souls from us. At any time we can die. God can decide that and bring us to himself. Job was a man who suffered much, and this is what he says. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And boys and girls, mums and dads, we all need to remember that the Lord can take our life at any time. I'm sure all of us at the beginning of COVID-19 were a bit nervous, and maybe the nervousness is gone a bit. But God can take our life at any time. And God calls this rich man a fool. Now, why was he a fool? Well, there are a number of reasons why this rich man was a fool. The first one was he lived without God. That's the first reason we see there. Psalm 14 says this, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Boys and girls, you'll meet people as you grow up, they're called atheists, people who say God does not exist. Do you know what God says about atheists? "You fool." A person who doesn't believe that God exists, the Bible says, God says, is a fool. Look around the world that we live in, boys and girls. Just look how complicated, look at the beauty of flowers and vegetables, how amazing things grow. That all happened by chance, which had to be the case if there's not a God who planned it all and designed it all and made it happen. How can this world, this amazing world we live in, and the stars which cannot be numbered, how can this world come out of nothing? It can't come out of nothing. Someone had to make it. And those who believe there's no God, I say they have amazing faith to be able to believe that, that all this can happen without God. I look at the world around me and I just can't believe that this is a world that could happen by chance or a world that came out of nothing. A fool says there's no God, but, this is important, other fools like this rich man live as if there's no God. They don't say there's no God, but God isn't in their life. God doesn't come into their decisions. God doesn't matter in the course of what they do. And boys and girls, mums and dads, grannies and grandas, in your day-by-day life, are you living as if there's no God? Does God come into your decision-making? Does God matter in the course of life that you take? Is God part of your life? Or are you living as if there's no God? The second reason he's a fool is he forgot his death. The rich man lived as if he would live forever. Remember back in James where he says life is like a vapor. You ever watch a kettle boil, boys and girls? Mom and dad are having a cup of tea or coffee after dinner today. You watch the kettle boiling. And once it goes off, see how long the steam is there. It will disappear almost in an instant. And James says life is like that. It's there for one moment and then it disappears. We're all going to die. Every single one. There was a young prince years ago. He was worried about dying and he spoke to one of the wise advisors in his kingdom and he told him, "You needn't worry about that. You wait till you're older before you worry about it." And the young prince says, "I've been walking in the graveyard and I see many graves of people, of children younger than me." We're all going to die, boys and girls. But boys and girls, we don't have to be afraid of dying. We can be ready to die. And for the Christian, dying means to go to a far better place where we're even more alive and filled with joy and happiness. Do you face up to your death? Do you accept that you're going to die? Everyone here today, do you accept that? Are you ready for it? Do you understand you could die at any time? We must be ready for it. And then the third reason he was a fool is he had the wrong riches. I remember one time going into a shop and going to pay for something, and I had the wrong money. I had some of the old Northern bank notes, which were there before the robbery took place. Boys and girls, you'll not remember this. Many years ago, thieves stole millions and millions of pounds from the Northern Bank, now Danske Bank. And what did they do? They did away with all the old notes and brought in new notes that the thieves couldn't use. And I remember going to buy something with one of these old notes, and it's no use. The wrong money, wrong riches. This man was rich in the things of this world. He was rich with the things he owned. But this is the problem. He wasn't rich towards God. He was rich with his crops. He was rich with money, but not rich towards God. Now, here's a big question. How can we be rich towards God? Well, the Bible speaks of the riches of Christ which cannot be measured. And boys and girls, Jesus lived such a perfect life, such a right life, always pleasing and obeying God, it's as if loads and loads of riches are placed to his account of good deeds. We haven't lived a good life. We haven't lived, love God of all our hearts, soul, mind. So we have no riches in our account. But what happens, boys and girls, when we trust in Jesus, all the riches in Jesus' account, all the riches that deserve for him to go to heaven, all those riches are taken from that account and placed in our account. And when God sees us, it's as if we had lived the perfect life that Jesus lived. As if we had perfectly loved other people. As if we had even perfectly obeyed God all the way to death. It's placed into our account when we trust in Jesus. And boys and girls, that's how we become rich towards God. We come, trust in Jesus, embrace Jesus, grab hold of Jesus, hug him as our Savior, as our King. And then we become rich towards God. You see, there are people who live so they can be rich in this world. They can have loads and loads of money, loads and loads of possessions. But that will not help when we die. We need to be rich towards God by coming to trust in Jesus. The rich fool live for the things of this world, have loads and loads of money and possessions, but he failed to look to Jesus and to trust in him for salvation. He failed to make Jesus the king of his life. You see, there are two paths we can walk in life. There's the broad road where we just live to please ourselves and God's not in the picture. We do our own thing. That will lead to hell, everlasting destruction. Or we can come, trust in Jesus, follow him as our Savior and Lord, have him as our friend, as our King, as our Savior. And then when we die, we go into the riches of heaven, more rich than we can ever imagine. Are you living for the things of this world, for your pleasures on the broad road? Or have you come to trust in Jesus and following him as your Lord and Savior? Oh, it's nice to have toys. It's nice to have money. It's nice to have possessions. But you can have all those things and not be rich towards God. Come, trust in Jesus, and be rich in regards to heaven. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn, which is just reminds us of that day when Jesus will come again, the angels will come, and indeed people will be brought in, either to heaven's glory or brought to judgment. Come, ye thankful people, come.
Thank you.
Just remind you that after the benediction to remain seated and then wait until the committee man will show you out. Emptying the gallery first and then from the back of the church to the front. Father, we have been thinking about the harvest to come and about being safely gathered into heaven's glory. And Father, we know that will only happen if we're rich towards you through the Lord Jesus. And so we ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit would rest in our lives. So that, Father, we would be trusting in Jesus, knowing our sins forgiven and ready for heavenly glory and riches. For such grace we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.